Hold it. The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden.
Bay's Golden Days, I'm Marcus Boucher, and welcome back to another week of Raiders recap coverage right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. I know you might have missed me. The Raiders took a bye week, and I thought, hell, it's a bye week. There's nothing to report. Let's just kick back, relax, win some money through our straight cash picks. But no, Amari Cooper gets traded, and the Raiders could not just give me one simple week of peace heading into this matchup this weekend against the Colts. As I said, there was no Raider recap podcast last week with the bye week for the Raiders, but I did give you guys a preview on our Week 8 NFL Straight Cash podcast, only on the Bay's Golden Days, hosted with my brother Alan Flores, and we'll be back to pick every single game by the point spread all season long for free right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. But let me go back to what I said about the Raiders. I gave you guys a preview against the Colts. I picked the Raiders plus the points, but they lost again, 42-28. But before we get into the Raiders-Colts game, we got to talk about the biggest news from last week. Amari Cooper being traded. The NFL trade line has officially passed. The Raiders are not making any more moves after shipping off Khalil Mack in the beginning of the year and now shipping off Amari Cooper. It was surprising to me they actually held on to a couple of guys. Carl Joseph, I thought maybe was on the way out. Hell, I thought Bruce Irvin was gone for sure. Reggie Nelson, I was just praying and hoping somebody would take him away, but he's still on the team. So the Raiders, it looks like we got our final roster for these finals 8 games. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. We had this game this past weekend against the Colts. We got the Niner game coming up next. So I'm going to give you the full review, the full preview for Raiders, Niners. But like I said, let me get straight into this Amari Cooper trade. Like I said, the trade deadline has passed. Amari Cooper is gone. He's officially a Dallas Cowboy. And I'm torn 50-50, folks. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel. Amari Cooper, he was my boy. AC/DC, get the band tuned up, baby. We were back in black. DC to AC was supposed to be a combination that connected for years and years to come, and now he's gone. A 2-time Pro Bowler at the age of 24 years old is gone. And I don't know if there was clashes between him and Gruden, his personality type. John Gruden is a rah-rah, all-in-your-face, a loud, ambitious type of coach, while Amari Cooper is that cool, quiet, laid back, don't bother me. I'm going to be a Larry Fitzgerald. I'm going to be an Andre Johnson and not talk too much. I'm just going to go and do my job. Well, that didn't translate with John Gruden because he didn't think that he was trying that hard. He wanted more effort for him, and he honestly just didn't think that Amari Cooper would be part of the future, and he didn't want to pay Amari Cooper next year. So that's why I said I'm torn 50-50. I loved Amari Cooper as a player, but from a business standpoint, this is a way, way, way better trade than the Khalil Mack trade. So don't expect me to go on here and rip the Raiders apart and rip Mark Davis and rip John Gruden for saying this was a god-awful trade, when at the end of the day, if you weren't going to sign Amari Cooper, it's better to get some value from him now than to let him walk away for absolutely nothing. Like I said, a 2-time Pro Bowler, had back-to-back 1,000-yard season his first 2 years in the league. And man, oh man, I thought this guy was going to take off and take us to the promised land, which we got back to that 12-4 year. But now it's all over. He's gone. And let me give you the details of this trade. We ended up getting a first-round pick from the Dallas Cowboys. Yes, you heard me correctly. The Raiders came out and said, we want a first-round pick. And everybody laughed at him, said, huh, you're not going to get a first-round pick for Amari Cooper. The guy can't even catch a ball anymore. He has 30 yards one game, 300 the next. The guy's just inconsistent. No way you're getting a first-round pick. But what do you know? the Dallas Cowboys come knocking at the door after there was reports that the Philadelphia Eagles had offered a second-round pick. The Dallas Cowboys couldn't get beat out by the Eagles once again, so they went ahead and gave up a first-round pick for Amari Cooper. Now, a lot of people are saying the Dallas Cowboys gave up way too much. The Raiders won this trade. Well, yeah, I think the Raiders won this trade, a first-round pick for Amari Cooper. Hell, look at the list of first-round wide receivers since Amari Cooper has been drafted. I mean, no one has even gotten anywhere close to this amount of trade value. But at the same time, look at the wide receivers who have been drafted in the first round the past couple years. They haven't been shit. So if the Dallas Cowboys want a first-round wide receiver, hell, they just got Amari Cooper, who's 24 years old, entering his prime. I know they had one of Alabama offensive coaches. I think he's now the wide receiver coach for the Dallas Cowboys, so he came in and preached for Amari Cooper. I don't know what he's going to be able to do with Dak Prescott as his quarterback. I mean, it's not like you're upgrading at quarterback. Dak Prescott can't even throw the ball fucking 20, 30 yards downfield, so I don't expect anywhere there. But I honestly think it's a win-win situation. The Dallas Cowboys needed a wide receiver desperately, and the Raiders were desperately looking to unload talent that they're not going to pay in the future days. I mean, I said this on the Khalil Mack season preview talent. John Gruden obviously didn't think that this roster was the 12-4 roster 1 year removed from making the playoffs. Obviously not. You traded away your best player, Khalil Mack, and now you trade away probably your most explosive offensive talent in Amari Cooper. I mean, like I said, I'm 50-50 on this trade because I understand it from a business perspective, and I'm absolutely juiced that we got a first-round pick next year. Hell, we got 3 first-round picks next year, 2 first-round draft picks, and next year's after that. So like I said, John Gruden, he knows what he's doing. He's rebuilding for Vegas. He doesn't think we're good enough to win in Oakland, so why not go out there, and why not get a first pick if you can? Because like I said, that's better value than probably any wide receiver you can get right now in the NFL. I mean, no one's trading fucking Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, or Odell Beckham Jr., but if Amari Cooper is worth 1 first-round pick, I wonder what the hell those guys are worth for, because let's look at some of the trades that went down at the deadline today. Golden Tate, solid wide receiver, is getting up there in age a little bit, went to the Eagles for a 3rd-round draft pick. Demaryius Thompson, another 4-time Pro Bowler, getting up to around 30 years old, went for a 4th-rounder. Ty Montgomery, same draft class as Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper was obviously taken top 10. Ty Montgomery out of Stanford wasn't taken until the 3rd round. He just got traded to the Ravens for a 7th-rounder. This is a wide receiver from the same draft class. You want to talk about Josh Gordon to the Patriots for a 5th-rounder. Sammy Watkins, the man that was actually drafted before Khalil Mack, was a top 5 draft pick. Got traded to the Rams for a 2nd-round pick, was then cut. Got picked up by the Chiefs. You saw what happened there. Kelvin Benjamin, another first-round wide receiver for the Panthers. Traded to the Bills for a 3rd and a 7th-round pick. Corey Coleman, a top 10 wide receiver. Drafted by the Browns. Sent off to the Buffalo Bills for a 7th-round pick and then cut. I mean, should we go over all the first-round wide receivers since Amari Cooper has been drafted? I mean, I can't believe there was people actually telling me Kevin fucking White was going to be the answer that year. People are telling me we should have drafted Kevin White over Amari Cooper. We got a first-round pick for Amari Cooper. I think I just saw Kevin White make the first catch of his career against the Patriots where he was 1 yard short. Besides that, I haven't seen Kevin White do anything else. Devontae Parker, nice little talent, but he's in a doghouse with the Dolphins. Just played his first game this past weekend. Nelson Aguilar, we all know the story of Nelson Aguilar. The ups and downs, the drops. It's not like he's an elite, dominant wide receiver. Brashad Perriman, he just got cut by the Ravens. Don't even want to mention him. Philip Dorsett, they cut him from the Colts. He went on and went with the Patriots. Corey Coleman, I mentioned him. Will Fuller has had flashes of greatness, but he can't stay healthy. He just got hurt again, placed on the IR. He's done for the year again. Josh Doctson out of Texas Christian University hasn't done nothing for the Redskins. Laquan Treadwell has done jack shit for the Vikings. Corey Davis hasn't done a damn thing for the Titans. And John Ross, the fastest man on the earth, has not done one single thing for the Cincinnati Bengals. And I'm not going to get into the wide receivers from this year's draft class because the case is still open. Calvin Ridley has had some pretty good games. Cortland Sutton is a guy coming up. Christian Kirk is a couple nice little wide receivers. But look at these wide receivers from before this year. You want to talk about first-round talent? Where's it been? Who has been better than Amari Cooper since Amari Cooper has been drafted? I mean, I will argue almost nobody. So the Raiders have had the best first-round wide receiver for the past couple years, and that's why they got a first-round talent for them. They got a first-round pick because Amari Cooper is still a first-round talent. I just mentioned Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley is 24 years old. Amari Cooper is 24 years old. They're both the same age. Calvin Ridley is a rookie. And Amari Cooper has already been a two-time Pro Bowler with back-to-back over 1,000-yard seasons. So like I said, I understand the Cowboys giving it up a first-round overall pick for a much-needed playmaker. They needed that number one wide receiver. Michael Irvin came out and said, this is the one piece we are away from a Super Bowl. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Slow down there, Michael. I don't think you're that close, but I definitely think Amari Cooper helps out this team. At the end of the day, Amari Cooper is going to help out the Vegas Raiders because, as sad as it is to say, there's nothing left to look forward to in Oakland. This has officially put the nail in the coffin for any playoff hopes, any championship hopes, any hopes in general we had for the Oakland Raiders, because now it's all for the Vegas Raiders. Like I said, the fire signal was there. When Khalil Mack was traded, John Gruden obviously didn't think we were a playoff team. He didn't think we were anything close to that 12-4 record from a year removed. Now he's just rebuilding. Now he's trading everybody. And these trade rumors came out and they said, oh, Derek Carr, he's next. And when I first thought about it, I said, shit, they might be right. At this point, cleaning house, you got 5 first-round picks the next 2 years. You got the chance to pick any quarterback you want. But what quarterback is there? We talked about Herbert from Oregon. He might stay another year. Quarterback from Alabama, Tai Tuivasa, is still going to stay another year. I mean, there's a couple great freshmen. Jake Fromm, Georgia. Was it Lawrence from Clemson? They're both freshmen. So who are you going to get? Why not just stick with Derek Carr for a couple more years? He signed a 5-year contract. You think we're bad now with Derek Carr? Did you forget who were the quarterbacks before Derek Carr? Should I run him down for you, Raider fans? I mean, do you want to go back to Kerry Collins, Marcus Tuiasosopo, Andrew Walters, Aaron Brooks, Josh McCown, Dante Culpepper, Andrew Walters, Jamarcus Russell, Bruce Gradkowski, Jason Campbell, Carson Palmer, Terrell Pryor, Matt McGloin, Matt Flynn? I mean, is that what we want? We want to go back to the Matt Flynn era, the old washed-up Carson Palmer era, where we're just getting quarterbacks at the end of the career, Dante Culpepper and Aaron fucking Brooks? Is that what we want, Raider fans? Because that's not what I want. I want Derek Carr as my quarterback, and my quarterback came to play this weekend against the Colts, did not get the win this weekend. Obviously, I said they lost 42-28, but it was not Derek Carr's fault at all. You cannot put the blame on Derek Carr in this game because he played absolutely fan-fucking-tastic. 21 of 28, 244 yards, 4 passing touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdowns. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 touchdowns on the ass. Derek Carr had one hell of a game, but we'll talk more about his stats later. Let's just go ahead now and get into this Colts versus Raiders game. Fucking intro. Like I said, the Raiders haven't won enough games for me to create any rejoins or anything for them this year. Let's just hop straight into the first quarter where the Colts came out with an 11-play, 75-yard drive, taking up over 6.5 minutes where they just ran the ball down the Raiders' throat. I mean, Marlon Mack came out. If we didn't have enough Mack issues this whole season with Khalil Mack getting traded, Marlon Mack had to say, hey, there's still a Mack getting all up in that ass this weekend against the Raiders, and it was just terrible because Marlon Mack alone and these tight ends beat us. That's how I say it, because Andrew Luck just hit the tight ends, tight ends, tight ends, tight ends. T.Y. Hilton had one catch this whole entire game. The tight ends had 3 touchdowns. In the first one, Mo Alie-Cox, whatever the hell your name is, you're the third-string tight end on the Colts, had a fantastic one-handed catch. I don't know if his name is Mo Allen Cox because he gives the cock to Odell Beckham so much, and Odell taught him how to catch a one-handed pass, but this was absolutely beautiful, and they connect for a 26-yard touchdown, and Andrew Luck puts the Colts up 7-0 fast and easy in the first quarter, while the Raiders, they come out and they stall. The Raiders go 3 and out on their first drive of the game, and it's their only 3 plays of the first quarter because Andrew Luck just absolutely dominated the time of possession in this game. Just these slow, methodical drives. He comes back to end of first quarter with another 13-play, 70-yard drive, taking up over 7.5 minutes. But this time, the Raiders' defense bends, but they don't break. The defense is able to hold on a big third and goal play, and Adam Vinatieri comes out for a 26-yard field goal. He hits it to put the Colts up 10-0, and Adam Vinatieri ties the all-time NFL points leader. We'll touch more on that later on, but let's now go to the second quarter where the Raiders offense finally got something going, and it almost looked like it didn't because after not doing anything on first down, only getting a yard on second down. It's 3rd and 9 at their own 35-yard line, and Derek Carr is getting pressured in the pocket. He steps up, takes a huge hit, but he connects with Jared Cook for 9 yards for a first down, and this is what I love to see from Derek Carr, because we've all heard the stories about him getting happy feet in the pocket. There was a time where it looked like he would literally, anytime the pocket would collapse, he would drop himself and go down without anybody really hitting him, because the guy's recovering from injury. Everybody said he's soft, but he's out there with a fucking broken back, a broken leg, broken thumb, broken wrist, whatever Derek Carr has played through, and he has played phenomenal. Like, I'm telling you, DC stepped up huge in this game. He looked phenomenal, and that's my quarterback, man. I can get to this long list of stats, and I just told you everybody who played quarterback for the Raiders before, but Derek Carr, he's my quarterback, and he looked absolutely fantastic. Took the hit, connected with Connor Cook, then hits Brandon LaFell for a 15-yard screen, then connects with Dwayne Harris on a little wide receiver reverse. Next thing you know, play action down the seam, wide open. Seth Roberts, the dread-headed pirate, touchdown Raiders, baby. If only this was 2016, and we are winning every single game that Seth Roberts caught a touchdown in. Because up until this year, we were 10-0 in games Seth Roberts caught touchdowns in. We win those games. We're now 0-2 this year. So Seth, without AC/DC, without the crab man on the outside, it's just not the same impact. But Seth Roberts looked beautiful on that play, getting down the seam and connecting with Derek Carr for a touchdown. And the Raiders are only down 10-7. And this is where the Raiders defense actually steps up for one of the few drives of this entire game. The Raiders get a big 3-and-out as Gerrion Conley covers T.Y. Hilton like a blanket. He does this little go route where he stops the hitch about 5 yards, trying to pick up that first down. Next thing you know, Conley comes over his back, breaks up the pass. It was an absolutely fantastic play by the redshirt rookie, Gerrion Conley. Yes, I'm still calling him the redshirt rookie. The guy is going to get plenty of playing time this year, and he better, because he didn't get traded, and we need these first-round draft picks to pan out. And honestly, the corners didn't play terrible in this game. Like I mentioned, T.Y. Hilton had one catch the whole entire game. It was tight ends that were killing us the whole entire game. These goddamn tight ends, which, if you guys listen to the podcast for the past 2 years, 3 years, I've talked about the Raiders' defense. Death by deep ball, death by tight ends. You'd think we'd try to figure it out by now, but nope. Hell, hire me as a defense coordinator. Maybe I can do something. But back to the game. The Raiders, after getting a huge 3-and-out, get a little bit of momentum. The call, Sam, is cracking, and Derek Carr is able to lead the Raiders on a 7-play, 79-yard touchdown drive for about 4.5 minutes. It's set up by a big Jordy Nelson 14-yard catch on 3rd and 2. Doug Martin then comes off and rips off his longest run of the day, a 15-yard run. The Raiders then run that same fake screen, but this time it's to Martavis Bryant. They're not doing a fake screen to Brandon LaFell. I don't know why LaFell was in the beginning, not Martavis Bryant, but with Martavis Bryant in on that fake screen, it brings up Darius Leonard and those Colts linebackers. Next thing you know, Jared Cook is running wide open down the seam. Derek Carr hits him for a 25-yard dime, and it's another touchdown Raiders, baby. And just like that, it's 14-10. The Raiders have taken the lead, but the Colts are not done before halftime, because they put together a 16-play 68-yard drive. The Raiders defense is able to hold him from getting into the end zone before a half, but here comes Adam Vinatieri. He goes out there, hits a 25-yard field goal to move into number one all-time in the most points scored in NFL history. I mean, man, oh man, this was a guy who said he didn't even invite his family out there to come watch him because he wasn't sure he was going to play. I mentioned it on our Straightcast podcast. He was dealing with a groin injury, but he looked absolutely fine this week, and he was able to pull the Colts within 1 point to only be down 14-13 heading into the second half. But the second half started with the Raiders coming out and running the ball better than they've probably ran the ball all year. I know Marshawn has had his moments, but definitely in this game, this was the best running drive of the game, because Doug Martin comes out like a man on fire from halftime and rips off a 29-yard run. I can pretty much guarantee, without even looking at the stats, that's his longest run of the year. The next play, Jalen Richard, little pocket rocket, rips off a 13-yard run, and Doug Martin is able to get us down inside the 10-yard line, but he's stuffed on 3rd and goal at the 1-yard line, and I'm thinking, where's Blackjack Del Rio? Where's Blackjack John Gruden at in this instance? I mean, we got to go for it, Johnny. I mean, what do you got to lose? We're already 1-5 to start the year. Why not go for it? And he does. Actually calls on Derek Carr to go up and over. Now, we don't see Derek QB sneak. I've talked about it a couple times on the podcast this season. He's not the hard nose, put your nose down and run type of guy. But Derek goes up and over, does that little break the plane move that Tom Brady just touches the ball, bring it back, and he gets into the end zone 21-13. And it's the first Raiders rushing touchdown since Terrell Pryor ripped off, 96 yards against the Steelers? I mean, man, oh, man, we saw Derek Carr in his first play of his career rip off a 40-yard read option. It's nice to see Derek running in the pocket, moving around in the pocket, and it's nice to see Derek convert a quarterback sneak for 1 yard up and over, and the Raiders take the lead 21-13. But what did I say? Andrew Luck and these goddamn tight ends. Andrew Luck is able to go down the field 75 yards in just 4 plays because Marlon Mack, once again, untouched, 49 yards. I mean, can we get some linebackers on his team, please? No one touched him until Carl Joseph was able to run him down 50 yards down the field. KJ was running all over the place trying to just keep some people contained in this game. Next thing you know, it's 3rd and 4, and Andrew Luck throws an absolute dime to Eric Ebron right in the front corner of the end zone. I mean, Carl Joseph was all over Eric Ebron like a fly on a piece of shit. I mean, this was some pretty damn good coverage by Carl Joseph, obviously giving up a lot of size to the tight end, but Eric Ebron comes down with a 20-yard touchdown, and this was an absolutely fantastic play. The Colts then followed it up with another great play where they went for it on the two-point conversion. Andrew Luck is able to set a little screen up to Chester Rosser on the outside, and surprise, surprise, the Raiders can't tackle nobody within the 5 yards of the goal line, and they get into the end zone to score the two-point conversion and to tie the game 21-21. But the Raiders aren't done yet because we're still in the third quarter, folks. It gets bad when we get to the fourth quarter. But for now, we're still in the third quarter, and Derek Carr is able to go 75 yards on 11 plays, and he sets it all up with a beautiful pump fake. He looks to his left, goes right, sees Jared Cook running up the seam once again, hits him for another 30 yards. Doug Martin gets us inside the 10-yard line once again. It's 3rd and 5. There's pressure in the pocket. DC steps up, avoids the sack, hits Brandon LaFell for a 6-yard touchdown, and this is exactly what I'm talking about again. Stepping up in the pocket, moving around, making plays with your feet, Derek. You ran a 4-6, for God's sakes. That's half the wide receivers in the NFL these days. I mean, Derek Carr has got to use his athleticism more, and we saw that this weekend, moving away in the pocket. He wasn't sacked one time after getting absolutely demolished last weekend. Offensive line stepped up. Still no KO back this week. He was supposed to come back, but he was not. But still, didn't get sacked. Moving around in the pocket. Did take one hit, but he completed the pass to Jared Cook to get that first down. And just like that, the Raiders retake the lead 28-21. Brandon LaFell, man, can't believe he's still in the league. But he damn near put up the same stats that Amari Cooper has been putting on all year. So John Gruden after the game said Amari Cooper's trade didn't really affect our offense that much because the Raiders were in this game until the fourth quarter, which, of course, has been the story for the Raiders the whole entire year. I don't know whether to blame that on bad coaching or not because, obviously, they're getting outplayed in the first quarter, getting outplayed in the fourth quarter. That's not a good sign of good coaching. It's as simple as that. And the Colts came out in the fourth quarter with another 12-play, 75-yard drive, taking up over 5 minutes. And this is where Luck started to get lucky. Like, I'm not even trying to make a silly pun here or whatever. It was 2nd and 20, a tip pass, bounces off a couple people's helmets, lands in the hands of a Colts player, and it keeps the drive alive. Then the next play, Andrew Luck is able to just throw it to T.Y. Hilton, just lobs it up over the middle for 34 yards. The ball seemed like it was floating for an eternity. Eric Harris is playing safety, doesn't see the ball. It's as simple as that. Like, he ran straight to the wide receiver, not the ball. And this was the only catch T.Y. Hilton had the entire game. And he was just too focused on T.Y. Hilton, not trying to make a play on the ball. I mean, Eric Harris, he's been playing hard at safety this year, but the guy just doesn't have any ball skills. It's as simple as that. We saw a couple plays later, Andrew Luck almost turned the ball over in the end zone. Right in the chest, Eric Harris can't hold on to it. Dropped interception. Next thing you know, 3rd and goal. They run a draw. Marlon Mack up the middle. Touchdown Colts. It's tied 28-28. And I'm just thinking, oh, man, we can't catch a break here. We got balls being tipped off people's helmets, landing in people's hands. We got balls going straight through our hands, banging off our chest. We can't make a play. I mean, everything is just going wrong for the Raiders in this fourth quarter because everything was going right before it. Derek Carr was absolutely tearing it up. He had completed 17 straight completions. But of course, the first time he throws an incompletion in 18 attempts, the Raiders go 3 and out. And how do we follow that up? With our rookie punter, Johnny Townsend, sending off a booming 25-yard punt. Yes, you heard me correctly. A 25-yard fucking punt. I know this guy's a rookie, But you're a goddamn punter. It's not like people say, oh, you're a kicker. You got one job. Well, I mean, a kicker does onside kicks, does field goals, PATs, blah, blah, blah. A punter literally has one fucking job. Punt the ball. I mean, is the ball being snapped too hard at him? Does he not like the weather in Oakland? The dirt's not on the field anymore. He can't complain about the grip on the ground. You're a fucking punter, and it's absolutely unacceptable. 25-yard punt sets up the short field, and what do you know? Andrew Luck, six plays, 57 yards. Just run the ball, Marlon Mack. Play action to tight end. Run the ball, Marlon Mack. Play action tight end. Oh, Nyheim Hines, you want to get a 15-yard run in here too? Yeah, let's go to you. And then play action to the tight end one more time as Jack Doyle absolutely trucks Marcus Gilchrist for a 10-yard touchdown pass from Andrew Luck. And that's not one, that's not two, that's now three tight ends for the Indianapolis Colts who have scored touchdowns this game. I mean, it's a simple fucking formula to beat the Raiders. And just like that, the Colts go up 35-28. And I told you it was coming. The fourth fucking quarter. First play, down 7 points. Doug Martin fumble. The first play of the drive. Didn't even give Derek Carr a chance. Just went 17 for 18 through his first incompletion. And now it's over. Don't even got a fucking chance to try to come back against this shitty Colts defense that we've been lighting up the whole fucking game. Nope. Because if you're going to fumble on the first play, you're giving the ball to the Colts at the fucking 25-yard line. And what do they do? Marlon Mack, another touchdown, 42-28. Just like that, it goes from 28-28 to 42-28 in a blink of an eye. A blink of a fucking eye. And, I mean, it's been the same story all year long, at least, I mean, half the season. At least we got back to the first half of the season where I was complaining about the Raiders leading going into halftime. We won the first half again. Congrats. At least we're back on that track. I mean, the Raiders have had the lead going into halftime in four of their six losses this year. I mean, come on. The Raiders are being outscored in the fourth quarter by a league worse, 51 points. Like I said, first quarter terrible, fourth quarter terrible, second and third in between looked pretty good, but we still lost, despite averaging 7.4 yards per play. God, we're getting a first down almost every play we were running. I knew this was coming in the beginning of the year when we traded Mack. I said we're going to have to score 40, 50 points a game to win. It's just the defense is giving up 40, 50 points. That's the only thing. I mean, I knew that our offense would improve with John Gruden. Maybe our defense would take a step down without Jack Del Rio. But God damn, they look absolutely terrible. I don't know if it's just because Paul Gunther said we're trying to run a simple scheme here, trying to do something easy for the rookies, for the young guys. But the Raiders have allowed 218 points in seven games. That's the most in franchise history since 1961 when they allowed 242 points in seven games. I mean, it's Raiders defense. They're the third worst in third down defense, second worst in scoring defense. They're the worst in run defense, and they're the worst in sacks. So how are you going to stop anybody, let alone Andrew Luck, who is pretty much the front runner for comeback player of the year? I mean, it's got to be between him and Adrian Peterson. Andrew Luck finished the day, 239 yards, completing 22 of 31 attempts, 3 touchdowns, 7.7 yards per pass. But get this, his wide receivers, 1 catch. T.Y. Hilton, 1 catch, 35 yards. While Eric Ebron, 3 catches, 37 yards. Jack Doyle, 6 catches, 70 yards. So, I mean, the tight ends killed us, but at least our corners played decent on the outside. Nick Nelson getting his first start. We got Gerrion Conley, the redshirt rookie. I mean, so maybe that's something to look forward to, but how do we not get the Andrew Luck? I know that I've mentioned it on a Straight Cash podcast. I know with Quentin Nelson, this Colts offensive line has gotten better, but still, you got to put pressure on the quarterback. You got to make plays. You got to get turnovers. It's as simple as that. We didn't have any turnovers, and we lost. The Colts got one turnover, turned it into a quick 14 points like it was nothing. Won the game, 42-28. It's as simple as that, man. I mean, the Colts, like I said, dominated time of possession, dominated on third down. We're 9 for 13 on third down conversion. You shouldn't even let the team have 13 third down conversions. 9 for 13, getting 4 first downs from penalties. I mean, we just handed this game over. Had more passing yards. They obviously had more rushing yards. Penalties were pretty equal. But it's turnovers and time of possession. You know, it happens in pretty much every NFL game you see this year. turnovers and time of possession are huge. Fuck, man. We could have won this game. We could have won this game, but, I mean, honestly, it doesn't even matter anymore. We're 1-6, now sitting here at the bottom of the division. God, what a waste of a game. Or no, actually, it wasn't a waste of a game. Because, like I said, Derek Carr. Let me get back to the positives. If there was anything positive from this game, it's DC. The resurrection of Derek Carr. 21 of 28, 244 yards, 4 passing touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdowns. Derek Carr now has the second highest completion percentage in the NFL. He's now had 5 games this year with the completion percentage of 75% or better. I mean, that's my fucking quarterback, man. People want to talk about him being inaccurate. Well, there's the stats for you. People said he's not tough. Well, how did he respond? About a whole week or two of people just criticizing him, saying he lost a team, saying that he's a crybaby. What did I say on our Straight Cash podcast? I said Derek Carr is coming back with revenge. I don't care if it's against the Colts. I don't care whoever you're playing. Derek Carr is going to finish this year hot. I'm calling it right now. Derek Carr is going to finish this year on fire just so he can prove everybody wrong. I mean, the guy's got to be tired of fucking listening to everybody. Even hearing it from Raider fans now saying, trade him. Trade him. Get something else. What are we going to get? Who's going to play quarterback? Please, somebody. I know you guys were listening in the beginning of the podcast. You want me to go over these names again? Huh? Do we want Kerry Collins back? Andrew Walter? Jamarcus Russell? Matt Flynn? No, I don't. It's as simple as that. I want Derek Carr. I want my quarterback, baby.
It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair. We lost as a team. We lost as a team, man.
That's my quarterback. And honestly, that's more than a lot of teams can say. Hell, that's more than the other team in the Bay Area can say. And by the other team in the Bay Area, yes, I'm talking about the Santa Clara 49ers, who the Raiders will be taking on in week 9. Should we just get into the Raiders-Niner preview? I mean, I gave you my good little Amari Cooper rant, gave you the review for the Colts game. I mean, there's nothing else to talk about from this Colts game. We blew it in the fourth quarter. It's as simple as that. But there's pretty much only one team worse in the fourth quarter. That's the 49ers. I mean, the Raiders have been outscored in the fourth quarter by 51 points. The 49ers are second worst, being outscored 36 points. So whatever happens this Thursday, stay tuned. Because honestly, nobody knows what the fuck is going to happen. I mean, we got the Thursday night toilet bowl. The bottom of the barrel bowl. I mean, are we even allowed to call it the Battle of the Bay? Is it even a battle anymore? Because the Niners, like I said, they don't even know if they got their quarterback. Obviously, they don't got Jimmy Garoppolo. He's got a torn ACL. But C.J. Beathard, he's got a hurt wrist. He can barely grip a ball right now. I mean, who are the 49ers going to start? Nick Mullins? Nick fucking Mullins from Southern Miss Golden Eagles? I mean, man, oh, man, what is happening in the Bay Area, folks? I mean, I started this podcast. It's called The Bay's Golden Days. This was supposed to be the golden era of Bay Area sports. When I started this podcast, the Raiders were on the rise, getting back to their 12-4 days, the return to greatness, blah, blah, blah. The 49ers had just come off that Super Bowl run with the Harbaugh era. We saw how that ended. The San Francisco Giants had just won 3 in 5 years. I mean, at least the Warriors are still good in the Bay Area. That's one fucking thing, but they're moving from Oakland to San Francisco. So, I mean, the whole Bay Area is just... what the fuck is going on, man? Raiders, 49ers, terrible. Who would have saw this coming? Before this year started, before the Khalil Mack trade, Raiders and Niner fans were talking like we were going to meet each other in the Super Bowl or something. But now here we are. What are we, 8, 9 weeks into the season? The Raiders 1-6. The 49ers 1-7. I mean, get this. There have been 784 primetime games played in the NFL on November 1st or later. The Raiders and the Niners combined winning percentage of .133% is the lowest of any primetime game ever this late in the season. Ever, ever. I mean, you want to talk about hot garbage on the field. What's going to happen? Do any of these teams want to win? I mean, at this point, are these teams playing for draft picks? Is this the Nick Bosa Bowl? Little baby brother Bosa Bowl? I mean, what are we got to expect in this game? We can't even tell you who's going to be the betting favorite because the Niners were the home favorite, -3.5 points with C.J. Beathard. but they took the game off the board. How the hell are we supposed to bet when fucking Nick fucking Mullen is in the game? I honestly just can't wrap my head around it. I mean, at least we got Derek Carr playing quarterback still. But how the 49ers is going to be favored, even with C.J. Beathard? I said it before the season. I think the Raiders overall have better talent, got a better offensive line. Obviously, with Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, that boosted my argument quite a bit. Both teams playing fucking shitty right now. Only highlights on the defense. 49ers got DeForest Buckner. Raiders got Maurice Hurst. I guess Fred Warner's playing well. Reuben Foster's all banged up and hurt. I mean, what do we expect? The Raiders? 49ers? Is this going to be a game? I mean, I guess we can't even say that because the last time they played in 2014, the 49ers were this hot-to-trot team, and the Raiders were bottom of the barrel. Everybody thought it was going to be a blowout. And guess what happened? 24-13, December 7th, 2014. Raiders win. Raiders. Raiders. Yes, that is correct. The Raiders got the W over the Niners last time they played and are at an all-time record of 8-7 over the 49ers. So, aha! You 49ers will never get the winning record as long as the Raiders are still in the Bay Area. You will never have the winning record over the Oakland Raiders. But then again, the Raiders could have been in L.A. for a couple of those games, so who really knows, but I'm going to still talk my shit. The Raiders won last year. We all know what happens. The Raiders weren't even supposed to be in this game. It wasn't supposed to be close. And honestly, I mean, I don't know who the betting favorite is this game. It should be the Raiders, just because we still got Derek Carr. We still got John Gruden. We still got our fucking offense, minus Amari Cooper. But Nick Mullens and the 49ers are going to be favorites? Yeah, I'm taking the Raiders +3.5 any day of the week. I mean, the 49ers, what, they had 5 points last week against the Cardinals? I mean, you just lost back-to-back games against the Cardinals. If the Cardinals aren't the worst team in the NFL, it's probably you, the 49ers. But hell, what am I saying? The Raiders could be the worst team in the NFL. I mean, this game could end in a 0-0 tie for all I fucking know. I mean, Jesus. At least make it an entertaining game. At least a high-scoring game. I know the Raiders can go out there and score points on this defense that banged up Richard Sherman. Like I said, Reuben Foster banged up his shoulder. Can't stay healthy, can't stay in a game. Derek Carr and this offense should be able to score. Colton Miller, that bye week, did fantastic things. This all offensive line, like I mentioned, didn't allow a sack last week. They're going to have to work against DeForest Buckner in that front seven. Flip side, Maurice Hurst, Arden Key, maybe get P.J. Hall back this week against the 49ers offensive line that hasn't been great at all this whole entire year, which is one of the reasons Jimmy G is hurt, one of the reasons C.J. Beathard is hurt. So, I mean, we got to get some sacks because we didn't get none last week against Andrew Luck. Got to get some turnovers somehow. And we got to slow down Marquise Goodwin. Marquise Goodwin and George Kittle are the only options that the 49ers have in this game. I don't care who's at running back. Mozart, I mean, fuck, he could tear something off against us. Britta can't stay healthy. But George Kittle and Marquise Goodwin, those have got to be the two biggest matchups for the Raiders. As I said, Garon Conley played well last week. Well, he's going to get tested against one of the fastest wide receivers in the NFL, Marquise Goodwin. If I'm the Niners, I'm sending him on a streak once a drive. I mean, I'm just trying to beat you with deep balls if I'm the 49ers right now. Keep going back to Marquise Goodwin. Keep going back to that well over and over and over again. Because the Raiders ain't got no speed on their defense. Ain't nobody to stop him. And then George Kittle over the middle. We don't got no linebackers to stop him. Carl Joseph's our best safety. He plays half the amount of time. And that's because he's half the size of every tight end he guards. So he can't really guard anybody. So maybe this will be a high-scoring game. Maybe it'll be a blowout. Who knows? Like I said, the Raiders have been outscored in the fourth quarter by 51 points. But the 49ers have been outscored in the fourth quarter by 36 points. I talked about how bad this fucking defense is for the Raiders. They're the third worst in third down defense, the second worst in scoring defense, the worst in run defense, and the worst in sacks. But wait, the 49ers are last in NFL in takeaways, second worst in turnover margin, third worst in giveaways, third worst in sacks allowed, and fifth worst in defensive scoring. So, I mean, these are two teams that are in the bottom of pretty much every defensive statistic. So, I mean, teams got to score, right? I mean, I think Derek Carr torches his defense. I'm telling you, Derek Carr is going to be on fire for the last end of this year. I mean, because the Raiders' defense is terrible, so he's going to have to try to put up 40 points a week anyways. 5 touchdowns last week. I think Derek Carr has another big week against the 49ers this weekend. Man, how can I not take the Raiders plus 3.5 versus Mullen? Can I get a mulligan? Can I do that one over? No, you can't, 49ers. You're going to have to play with who you got. And who the Raiders got right now, I just got to believe they're still better than what the 49ers got. Especially plus 3.5. 3.5, that means lose by a field goal, the Raiders still covered. I mean, shit, the 49ers are 3-8 in games decided by 3 points or fewer under Kyle Shanahan. That's the most losses in the NFL. And with a .273 winning percentage, it's the 26th in the league. I mean, I thought this was supposed to be Kyle Shanahan. We lost 5 games within 5 points. We're the best 1-5 team in football last year. Well, looks like they're 3-8, games decided by 3 points. Can't get close enough, huh? And that's exactly what I think the Raiders are going to do, is just keep scoring, keep scoring, keep scoring. And I don't think this 49ers offense is able to keep pace with them. I think they're just going to keep outscoring them, where if the Niners end up scoring 30 somehow on this Raiders defense, Derek Carr is still going to put up 40 on the 49ers defense. And that's why I'm taking Derek Carr this weekend, baby, over the 49ers.
It's my quarterback.
Man, how things have changed here on the Bay's Golden Days. But one thing that won't change is we're going to be back every single week, win, lose, or tie, Raider Nation till I die, motherfuckers. We're going to be back here every week breaking down this Raider game, breaking down this 49er game, breaking down every game that is played in the Bay Area until the Raiders leave to Vegas. But then it'll still be the Vegas Golden Days. They got the Golden Knights. Why not bring the Golden Days out to Vegas? Because the Raiders, I've said it 1,000 times before, they're in Los Angeles when I was born. They were the L.A. Raiders when I was a kid. Then they came back to Oakland. So I don't give a fuck if they're playing in L.A. I don't give a fuck if they're playing in Vegas. I don't care if they're in Mexico City. I don't care if they're the London Raiders. The Raider Nation is worldwide, baby. And the Raider Nation, I know it's fucking tough to watch this year. We only got 1 year left in Oakland. Hopefully Marshawn is able to come back. I didn't even mention the IR news on here. I talked about it on the Straight Cash podcast last week. But hopefully Marshawn comes back at the end of the year just to give the Raiders fans a send-off. Because this is truly just a depressing time for Raider fans. Especially, it's terrible when John Gruden is getting all these draft picks. That's great. But you're not getting them for Oakland. You're getting them for Vegas. It's a slap in the face right before we leave. But at this point, Johnny Gruden is locked in for 10 years, Raider fans. We're stuck with him. And we're going to have to try to figure this out over the next 2 drafts. You better be right, John. You better be right. That's all I got to say, man. You better be right. The Raiders got to turn this around some way. Because with all these goddamn first overall picks, they better be damn good when they get to Vegas. They better be good. And I'm just going to leave it at that. So thank you for downloading. Thank you for subscribing. Google, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts from these days, you can find The Bay's Golden Days. Just go ahead and type it in on the interwebs. You'll be able to find it like it's nothing. To get our podcast immediately when it drops, go ahead and check out bgdsports.com. It's my website. You know, I put it together. Little pat on the back there. You can follow me on Twitter if you want to hear my hot takes about John Gruden and the Raiders and the 49ers this weekend. Pretty simple to find me. It's my name, Marcus Boucher. But I couldn't care if you followed me or not. But follow the show, man. Stay tuned. And come back next week because we'll have a full Raiders 49ers recap. The Raiders get the Cardinals again, too. I mean, I know the season's over, Raider fans, but there's still a lot to play for. Whether it's Nick Bosa or a top 5 pick, or let's all come together and let's root against the Cowboys and the Bears so that we get better draft picks. I mean, we got to turn it around someday. I don't know when that day's going to be, but I know the Raiders got a chance to win this weekend against the Santa Clara 49ers before the Raiders leave the Bay, and that's about the only thing that could save my season right now, is a win over the 49ers. Thank you once again. I got nothing else to say. Until next week, baby, you know what it is. It's the Bay's Golden Days. Hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it.
Steady gold, pony boy.